The other day, I was sharing a meal with some friends, and one of them began to tell a story. And she got to a certain point in the story, and her partner jumped in and finished it and got to the punchline. And as he told the story, her face was growing increasingly aggravated. And when he finishes, she just looks at him with indignation and says, "You didn't tell it right." Have you ever had that happen? You're in the midst of telling a story, somebody cuts you off, and then they totally miss the whole point of what's going on? Storytelling is really important. And the way we tell stories matter. So often we'll frame a situation, we'll relate an experience we have to get a particular point across. And so then what we do, we tweak and we change, leaving some details out and adding others. And when somebody else jumps in, they can just mess the whole thing up. The same is true for our Gospels. As all the Gospels are, it's the story of salvation. And each Gospel writer has a particular way that they tell the story. For much of the past year, we have been hearing Luke's story. The way Luke tells the story of God and God's people, the way Luke tells the story of salvation. And there are a few things that make Luke's Gospel particularly unique. But one of the main things is that Luke is all about reversals, about changing things from the way they are to the way they should be. You know, it's in Luke's Gospel that we get the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, which in one of those lines, it's the Magnificat found in the first chapter of Luke, and it's when Mary says things like, "The mighty will be cast from their thrones and the lowly lifted up." So much of Luke is all about reversal. And therefore, it's not necessarily surprising that fairly early on in Luke's gospel, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem, to that city where the greatest reversal of all will take place. So I said, we've been journeying with Luke for much of the past year. And so now we're getting towards the end of Luke's narrative. Now, it's going to be a while before we hear again the actual end of the story, because like we're almost at Christmas. But like, pretend for a minute we know what's about to happen. And so the parables in Luke's gospel, they take a different tone. Luke's telling a different part of the story. So for the last couple of weeks and for a little bit longer, these parables are different. They actually are a little easier to interpret. They're not about one specific topic or idea. They're not about economic justice or family or anything like that. They're about the core things of our faith. Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly life, and he's making sure that those who hear his words have a solid foundation upon which to build for when his life comes to an end and they have to carry on without him. So 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of the 10 lepers. Those 10 lepers who encounter Jesus, they are healed and restored, allowing them to re-enter society and the life as they knew it. And of those 10, only one goes back to Jesus to give thanks. And because it's Luke, it's going to be the one we least expect. And so it's the outsider, the Samaritan, who goes back and gives thanks to Jesus. It's a reminder to us that all that we have and all that we are is a gift from God. And for that, we must give our heartfelt thanks to God. And last week, we heard the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. This woman who goes to the judge repeatedly, day after day after day, seeking justice. And finally, he relents and gives her what she desires. And from this, we're reminded about the importance of persistence. That parable is accompanied by the command to pray always and not lose heart. We are to be persistent in our prayer, never giving up, maintaining to keep that relationship that we have with God. And today, you hear the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We're told that these two men go off to pray, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, he is a righteous man. He prays, he tithes, he does all the things that he is supposed to do. He is faithful. And then we have the tax collector. The person who makes his living participating in a system of oppression. He's helping the government, which oppresses the people, to take advantage of them more. So when the parable opens, we hear it's the Pharisee and the tax collector, knowing one is righteous and faithful and the other likes to dabble in exploitation. We might be tempted to say, "All right, I see you, Jesus. I know what you're doing." But it's Luke's gospel, which means a reversal is coming. And as Jesus tells the parable, it becomes very clear the Pharisee is not the righteous one, but the tax collector. And we get the sense of that as we hear the prayers which they offer. The Pharisee's prayer is not so much a prayer of God to God, but a prayer of praise for himself. He's like, I pray, I fast, I give, I am awesome. It's not really how we're called to pray, if you're just wondering. But then there's the tax collector. I mean, in the Pharisee, by the way, I hope you didn't miss that line. The Pharisee also then goes, thank you, God, that I'm not like those people over there. Also, not really great when in our prayer we say, hey, thanks for not like those losers over there. Like, also, so. If, just, you know, making it clear. But then we have that tax collector who stands afar off. He's not willing to come front and center. And he won't look up towards heaven. He's bent low and he beats his breast. And the only words he can utter are, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector doesn't say, hey, God, but like last Thursday, I did something pretty awesome, so is that going to balance things out? He admits his shortcomings, his failures, his vulnerabilities. Unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector is honest before God. These parables, as with many parables which Jesus tells, can be easy to fall into the trap of creating a false dichotomy, an us versus them sort of thing. It's the nine versus the one, the unjust judge versus the woman, the Pharisee versus the tax collector. And we might be tempted to do that, because then we can say, great, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, and we're going to be like the good guys. But to do that sells the gospel short. It short changes the story, because we are a combination of all of those things. We are the nine and the one, the unjust judge and the widow. We are the Pharisee and the tax collector. We do good things. We pray, we fast, we tithe, we work towards tithes, we give of our financial resources for the mission of God. We participate in outreach. We say and do the right things. But sometimes we fall into the trap of doing those things and say, look how awesome we are. We're better than that other place down the street. Look at all the great things we do. Sometimes we fall into that trap that the world says, like, hey, puff yourselves up. You know, live into that pride. Say, boast to the world, look what I've done, look where I've came from, look where I'm going. That's what the Pharisee does. That changes our attention and our focus away from God, the reason why we do all these things, and puts it on ourselves. And not only does the world around us say, hey, it's a good thing to build yourself up, it also says, while you do that, don't talk so much about your pain. Don't talk about your hurt, and certainly never admit any failings that you have. So it's as if we're told that, hey, there's nothing worse than being wrong. And so we wall all that stuff off. And when we do that, we prevent ourselves from a fuller experience with God. When we wall ourselves off, when we're not true and real before God, we create this superficial relationship. You know, nothing other than like, oh, we're going to have some small talk with God, a little chit-chat along the way. But that's not the real relationship God desires to have with us. God desires our honesty. God desires our vulnerability. God wants to know our pain and our hurt. We come week by week to this holy space to gather together and to pray, to build up ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, to equip ourselves, to go do the work that God has given us to do. And part of that work begins within ourselves, of breaking down those walls and all those compartments where we say, these are those not nice feelings, and I'm going to put them in a nice little box and put them on the shelf and never deal with those again. Part of the work we do here is to break down those walls within us. So not only can we experience the fullness of who we are, but that we can share that with our communities and with God. It's important to share our vulnerabilities and our hurts with one another, because this is how we build each other up. It's how we care for one another. It's how we lift each other in those hard and difficult moments. Because being in community isn't just about the good times, the party times, like when the bounce house is coming next Sunday. And, you know, who doesn't love a bounce house and candy? Okay, just me? All right. So, but community is about those hard times too. When we gather together and there are no words, when all we can do is just hug and share some tears. My friends, in these parables Jesus has been telling over these weeks, as Jesus makes that final entry towards Jerusalem, he's giving us, he's reminding us of that foundation upon which our lives are built. To offer prayer and praise to God, to be persistent in that prayer, to be honest in our prayer. So as we come this day, let us not only offer our thanks to God, let us not give thanks for all the wonderful, faithful things we do together, but let us pray that God might break down the walls in our hearts, that we may go forth from this place strengthened, healed, and renewed. Amen.